This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
All right, earlier in the season, during the NCAA season, Kevin, I told you I was out on the guy. Then all of a sudden, okay, he's back. He's healthy. Let's see what's going on here. People are starting to talk really highly of what he's doing, what he's doing in these practices. And then today, Michael Porter Jr. canceled his second workout. Right. He was going to work out again, and he canceled it because of a sore hip or a hip injury of some sort. And now I am completely out on this guy. All right? I'm completely out because this is a bad thing. I want to go back to Matt Harrison and just remember Matt Harrison for just a minute.
Okay.
Started out as a slip disc, and there were some neck problems, hip problems, toe problems, and it all was overcompensation for what was going on with his back. And he was trying to hide it at the time. And hip, back, man, the thing about back problems is they go away and never come back, right? That's exactly how they always work out.
They certainly don't cause other problems.
I'm not going to deal with a player that I want to rely my fifth pick on, that I wasted an entire season for, on a guy that is potentially going to be injured for most of his career. So I'm not going to do it, man. So I'm out on that guy.
I'm glad to hear you say that. And 877-881-1053, Autoflex Leasing Fan Text. Let us know where you stand about the possibility of the Mavericks drafting Michael Porter Jr. Because I hate the idea of us drafting him that high. I think Michael Porter Jr. is, like, best case scenario, the number 10 prospect in this draft. And that's best case scenario. I would put Ayton ahead of him, Doncic, Bagley, Jackson, Bamba, Mikal Bridges, Miles Bridges, Wendell Carter Jr., and Colin Sexton. I would put all of them ahead of Michael Porter Jr. And it's concerning because just yesterday, Sports Illustrated came out with their mock draft, and they have Michael Porter Jr. going to the Mavericks with Mo Bamba still on the board. And, like, look, I'm no huge fan of Texas, but that's a mistake. Like, Michael Porter Jr. has one potentially elite skill as it stands right now. He could be an elite scorer. I say could be because who the hell knows? Is he was an elite scorer in AAU basketball? Dope. So was Harry Giles, and he was the number one prospect the year before, and he also had injury problems, and he didn't play at all this year. I know that Mo Bamba already has elite rim protection because I've seen it, and I know he comes into the league with it. Michael Porter Jr. is not as athletic as people seem to think. He has trouble beating people off the dribble and creating his own shots. He's not a great defender. He's not a great rebounder. He's a volume scorer, so he's not an efficient scorer either. I don't get it.
Now, here's one of the problems, though. Is there a chance that dude might be the only guy available for the Mavericks? Now, Kevin,
no.
And again, we are going to be at Valor Burger at Victory Park on next Thursday. Next Thursday, it's going to be Nick Nepik, the expert. You could also hear him on Backboard Basics.
Smart.
It's a podcast that should have been named something different. But
oh, yeah, Dunk in the Trunk.
Dunk in the Trunk would have been better. But Backboard Basics is what they went with. So, but Nick Nepik is an expert when it comes to watching. He is the KT, Broadus, Jeff Kavanaugh of basketball. And we're going to have Skin Wade on the show with us. We're going to have Kevin and myself. We're going to be down at Valor Burger. We're going to be doing that thing all night long. We'll be covering the draft for you. And we would love for y'all to come out and take part in that thing. Because this, I think a couple of years ago, we had a Mountain Dew thing where it was up here in the studio and a bunch of guests got to come in and hang out with us. They had an awesome time. They loved it. So we want to make sure that you come out to Valor Burger with us and hang out with us. It's going to be a blast. Kevin, we'll be dropping that kind of knowledge all throughout the night. But with this team, is there a guy that will be available at the pick if, let's say, again, is Doncic, is he coming? Is he going to be part of this thing?
Yes, he's in.
Sorry, so he's in. Let's say he's not picked. Is that the guy you're going to take at five?
Oh, my God, yes.
Who's the dream scenario at five? Is it Doncic or is it Ayton?
Well, I mean, it's got to be Ayton. And then I think Bagley is intriguing, too, because it's the year of the bigs.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Doncic fits best here straight away because do you want your backcourt set up for the next 12 years? Because it is. Because you've got like a 19-year-old and a 20-year-old, or they might actually both be 19.
Well, with the Mavs, though, and I want you to like separate yourself for a minute from just the picks and just those two guys. What about the rest of the Mavericks? When you look at the team with Doncic, do you feel comfortable with the rebounding that you're going to get from Barnes, Dwight Powell, Dirk at the big positions down there?
Yeah, and that's why part of me wonders if it's a fool's errand not to draft a big in the draft of the bigs. You know, like we were talking about this earlier. For the top five picks, unless for some freaking reason Michael Porter Jr. makes his way up there, should be bigs. So do you skip out on a big the year you're in the top five in the year of the bigs,
mm-hmm.
and you take an off guard who could potentially be a wing a year before the year of the wing draft? That doesn't seem like the best strategy in the world. What kind of bums me out about the very beginning of this is I don't want Michael Porter Jr. You don't want Michael Porter Jr. But there was word going around that Sacramento, who is not in love with Luka Doncic, was ready to take Michael Porter Jr. at number two.
Mm.
And there's been word that we've heard that the Atlanta Hawks were ready to maybe take Trae Young at number three, which I think is insane. But like if you had DeAndre Ayton off the board and then Porter and then Trae Young and you get to four and Bamba's still there, Jackson's still there, Bagley's still there, holy crap! I would be freaking out, and that would be incredible news for the Mavericks. But with this news today, you'd think it would be less likely that the Kings would take Michael Porter Jr. Maybe the Hawks still want Trae Young. Again, bad idea, too high at number three. But your question was, will you be forced to? You won't be forced to, because there are five like talents in this draft that stand above the rest. It's Ayton. It's Doncic, it's Bagley, it's Jackson, and Bamba. And you just so happen to pick number five. So, I mean, you could say you're stuck with whoever's
but
left.
I don't like Jackson. I don't love Jackson.
Tell me why.
Because when I saw him in the tournament, he disappeared.
That's fair.
And I look at his size, and I don't know exactly where to put him.
Okay, I think that you can put him at center, and that's the issue for Jaren Jackson is he was played at the four most of the year, although clearly not the worst mistake that Michigan State coach Tom Izzo made in the last couple of years, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, wow. But he played, oh, sorry. Wow. Do we need to stand up for him? And so they played Jaren Jackson at the four. So Jaren Jackson sometimes didn't fill up the stat line. He is freaky athletic. He can shoot the three-pointer. He is very much like Mo Bamba, the future in terms of the modern NBA big. He's not as efficient of a shot blocker, but he's a much better shooter. And I was talking about this with Nick yesterday, the new episode of Backboard Basics up today, is you know what Mo Bamba's biggest advantage over Jaren Jackson is? There is no question that Mo Bamba has had the best PR campaign of the draft season.
Yeah, who's been in charge of that?
Whoever it is, they deserve a raise because all the time you're like, oh man, look at Mo Bamba draining all these wide open shots in a gym. You know, but like people freak out and people are like, oh man, look at Mo Bamba's changes to shooting. He's going to be unstoppable. He was a 27% three-point shooter. Like he was dreadful outside of 8 feet, but you see the videos. And you're like, holy crap, this kid's going to be freaking awesome. So whoever's in running his PR campaign, brilliant.
Yeah, no, because that does matter to me. I already know the guy can play defense, like you said.
Yes.
I already know he's a rim protector. That's what I want. And maybe I'm all sorts of off on this. I want old school basketball again. And I think you can force it.
Oh.
Wendell
Carter is the kid for you, then.
I think there's interesting. I think there's nobody that can defend that type of game anymore, especially if you have a 7-footer like Bamba and what he's potentially capable of on offense. It might take 3 years before he's ever there.
I think that's fair.
But what he's potentially capable of, I don't think anybody can defend that because everybody's using the same model right now. And everybody's model is go shoot three-pointers and have really good wing defenders. That's what everybody's trying to do right now.
Sure.
Well, nobody has anybody that you can just dump it down to and pick up two. I know that's a patient man's sport, and that's a patient man's game. Rick Carlisle knows how to play that game. Rick Carlisle's biggest deal is if I have somebody that can do that, what Tyson Chandler did, then I can protect, I can get rebounds, and then I can tell my guards and my forwards, step into three-pointers. Step into those whenever you get the ball because you're going to be open because your center's down there and they have to think about that guy. So I know that Rick Carlisle can plan that kind of game, and that's why Bamba makes so much sense to me. Not because he can step out there and shoot three-pointers. I don't need him to do that. But because he can be a threat down low that multiple people, you can't just double team all the time because you got to think about this guy all the time.
If that's the case, I wanted to let you know, I think Jackson is capable of that as well. But that's also why last week we threw out Wendell Carter Jr.
Yeah.
Because he's your 1980s power forward. Like, he's the guy that you can dump the ball down
Malone?
To in the paint. He's very, actually, I think that's probably an apt comparison. And some people will say, well, how would Karl Malone fare in the modern NBA? I think that's fair.
Could Karl Malone play defense? Because Carter and Bagley were the problem defensively for Duke.
They were, you could make a very strong argument. They were one of the reasons, if not one of the primary reasons, that Duke shifted over to a zone defense. And I know Wendell Carter Jr. came out and said, well, we can do a lot more than we were able to show, blah, blah, blah. Okay, fair enough. But he has an elite rebounding tool already. Like we talked about, what are the elite tools that these kids come into the draft with? Well, Wendell Carter Jr. might be the best rebounder in the entire draft.
So we might be getting Rodman.
I think with a more advanced offensive game.
Okay.
Wendell Carter is, he's already, and I know you said you don't need this, he's a proficient three-point shooter.
Okay.
So I think he's much more offensively advanced.
Now, I don't know. Maybe Carlisle does like that model. Maybe he's like, listen, this is something that we can do too, that I really think is the weapon. I mean, Kevin, we saw, and I know it's high school basketball, but I think it was El Paso. They had a team that all they did was shoot threes.
Fast-paced.
They never did anything but shoot three-pointers. Now, when they ran up against a team that had a big center, they struggled because that guy just collected everything and said, we'll take two on the other end of the court. But I'm one of those that I'm fine with that kind of game. If you can give me a Tim Duncan-style basketball, I'll take that anytime.
Did you see the other thing going around the world is why you might want to pick Chandler Parsons back up?
What?
Huh?
The hell are you talking? I'm sorry about that. What are you talking about?
Right? No. You could use hell right there. Okay. I'm with you.
I think that is valid. So there's word going around that Memphis desperately wants to get rid of Chandler Parsons. And why not? He's been awful. So he's still owed 2 years, $49 million. And I know on the surface, you're like, okay, pass. Why in the world would I do that?
Mm-hmm.
So the word is they're also willing to send the number four pick with him.
All right.
Now,
fine.
It might, I don't know what else it's going to cost you. Like
the number four pick?
The number four pick.
Just to pick up his money.
Well, the word is that they want some kind of young asset, but when it comes to the Mavericks, like, okay, you can have
Dwight Powell
or Seth Curry. Okay.
Profar.
Yeah.
Hey.
Can we send him Profar?
Hey, if you can make a way to make that work, I'd be super thrilled. All right.
Roddy B.
But you'd have the number four and the number five pick in the draft.
Okay, yeah,
I would
take that.
Now, your free agency capital would be pretty much gone, and your dreams of going after Boogie would probably be gone unless you wanted to try to leverage that into another trade.
I'm not worried about that now.
Okay.
And I would actually probably, you're actually probably right, I would probably try to leverage the four and five to try and move up a little bit if I really want to.
Ooh, but see, if there's five really good players in the draft and you can get two of them.
Yeah. Oh, man, I would...
Then the dream would be, although I am intrigued by the concept of running Bamba.
Bagley and Bamba together.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
I'm intrigued by the idea of running Bamba and Jackson together because that might be what you get. But you're right. You would kind of hope that one of those two gets taken and then you get any combination of Bamba or Jackson and Bagley or Doncic. Because if you think about it like this, all right, so let's say you get Bamba and Bagley, like Corey just said. Well, once again, 4/5 of your lineup is set for the next 8 years, with 3/5 of it, theoretically, you're hoping set for the next 12 years because you have Dennis Smith Jr. running the point. Perhaps in the short term, you go Wesley Matthews at the two, hopefully long term, maybe Seth Curry if that works out. Then you would roll Barnes at the three, Bagley at the four, and Bamba at the five. And on the flip side, if you got one of the bigs to go with Doncic, well, then your backcourt is set for the next 12 years with Dennis Smith Jr. and Doncic, and you need to figure out what to do with the three. But remember, next year, year of the wing, and then you run Harrison Barnes at the four, and you're big at the five. And if you want to slide Barnes to the three and put Dirk in the four short term, you could do that. But what you've done is you've added an additional pick without sucking for another year. And that advances your rebuild so much so that I say 19-20, you could make the playoffs.
Whew. Yeah, so how do we get LeBron?
Well, your mic's off.
Mic's not on.
How do we get LeBron, though?
Well, the first start, you got it. You turn on your mic. And I think LeBron would be great on the wing. He'd probably want to run the point, and then you need Dennis Smith Jr. to run a lot.
He can play the two, kind of.
Okay,
the two-ish.
Okay, well, let me ask you this then. I'm just throwing this out there. This is complete nonsense. Don't think it's going to happen. But I am curious if you were put to the test. I've seen all kinds of trade deals that put out there for LeBron. All I know is none of them would be better than the number four and the number five pick. Would you trade both of those for LeBron?
Ooh. No.
Not even thinking about it?
Uh-uh. No, I want to build my own team. I'm
okay.
Tired of seeing
so you don't
other
want to you don't want to be in a championship next year
with just LeBron and look like the Cavs did.
I think they
you
can do other
Dennis
stuff
Smith
with LeBron.
Jr.
Yeah, I think they can still do other. We
and Harrison Barnes.
We could probably add Boogie.
I'd take four straight finals in 5 years before I'd take one championship with LeBron next year.
All right. I don't disagree with them, actually.
Wow.
Yeah, because I want the foundation of guys. This the reason we love Dirk so much, right? He was ours. We drafted him. He stayed here. He was our player. I think that's what fans want to hold on to is say, that's our guy.
And plus, Parsons owes us.
Okay, well, see, and remember, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, the idea of Kenneth Faried being available for the 14th pick. Well, that's the word. Chandler Parsons is out there. 2 years, $49 million. But you could pick up
can
the number
Keith
four
Van
pick.
Keith Van Horn him? And just say, don't show up. We don't even want to pay you.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. But you have to buy him out.
That's fine. You know what? That's fine. Rick Carlisle couldn't stand that kid. He could not stand him. He'd show up and he was like, oh, I love my shoe line and look at my underwear. Like, that's all he wanted to do was look at how pretty I am. That's it. So I'll pay the guy to not show up if we can get Bagley and Bamba with four and five.
And that is a legitimate thing that could happen.